Hello everyone and welcome to episode 3 of Retail Recovery. My name is Caroline Greenwell, I'm one of the hosts of the series and a senior associate in the Litigation and Dispute Resolution Division at Charles Russell Speechlead. Today I'm very happy to be joined by Jamie Cartwright and Claire Graney, who are fellow disputes lawyers, so I'm really looking forward to an interesting discussion with them today. I'll just let you guys introduce yourselves before I go on to explain what we'll be covering.
Hi, Caroline. Thank you for having us along today. So I'm Jamie Cartwright. I'm a partner in the firm's commercial disputes resolution team, and I've got a particular focus on supply, product and food and retail related issues. And this extends to sort of food labelling and information. And I've commented and advised extensively in relation to food allergen information. I act for a range of clients across the sector and lean towards the resolution end of what we do and come from the mindset that disputes shouldn't be the tail that wags the dog of business.
And I'm Claire, and I am a senior associate also in the Commercial Dispute Resolution Group at Charles Russell Speechlead. I specialise in media privacy, reputation management and data protection disputes. I work with quite a lot of brands because of the kind of reputation management focus of my work, and really excited to be able to talk today about what help Jamie, Caroline and I can give to brands in the space at the moment.
Fantastic. Thank you both so much. So the plan for the session is to discuss the resolution of disputes which are inevitably arising during these particularly tense and financially tight times, and with that the management of a brand's reputation as it traverses through those disputes. So we're going to touch on the kinds of disputes that we're seeing and how they're playing out, the advice that we're giving in those scenarios, which we hope will be of use to you should you find yourself in similar situations, the importance of protecting a brand's reputation as between counterparties in a dispute situation, but also in the face of the public with the future always in mind, some potential solutions in dispute scenarios which could be particularly relevant at the moment to help survive and protect the brand in these challenging times, and we'll finish with some top tips and practical advice from our experience of advising in these scenarios. So if I could start with you, Jamie, I'd just be interested to hear how you see the impact of COVID-19 from a disputes perspective, the effect that it's having on businesses and how that's translating to the disputes you're working on.
Yeah, thanks, Caroline. Yes, well, look, I'm probably not the first person to sort of remark that the current circumstances are unprecedented and certainly so within our lifetime. I think from a food and retail sector, and really anything with a consumer at the end of a supply chain, there are, I think, two broadly big dispute hotspots arising from COVID-19. And I think the first of which is cash and debt and liabilities owed. And the second of that is performance and demand. And our economy, of course, is built on principles of supply and demand. And what we're seeing here is that system has been thrown into huge disarray, and kind of the equilibrium and relativity that comes with that. What we've seen in retail and food is that demand has fallen off with the closure of shops and restaurants, and supply has become much more difficult or is no longer needed because of such closures. And I think what we're seeing really is the combination of both has put pressure on cash, either with no cash being available, or at the very least, a heavy reluctance on parties to part with their cash and to maintain cash flows in situations of such uncertainty.
Yeah, absolutely. It's an incredibly difficult balancing act, I think. And what sort of advice are you giving in these scenarios, Jamie?
Yeah, well, I think we all come in this firm, us as litigators, we all come from a perspective that you've got to understand context in any dispute. I think there's one thing, what does the contract provide? On a strict analysis and what is the black letter law, but without the context of understanding the commercials, it's very difficult to advise in a vacuum. So you're looking to understand the dynamic of the relationship, who needs who more. You're looking to understand the opponent party. Unfortunately, in these sorts of times, you're seeing parties who will take advantage of opportunities to sort of refuse to pay, when there's not necessarily a good reason for them to refuse to pay. They're using the opportunity of COVID-19. And I've had a case over the last fortnight when that's been the case. But it's about applying the pressure, establishing that the party is good for the money. And that means sort of doing your research in and around them in terms of their financial position and sort of going forward on that basis. So there's a lot of commercial angles to be considered as well. And I think there's a lot of creativity that needs to be considered in around these times. You're seeing parties who've probably enjoyed very fruitful, sensible commercial relations over a number of years, and touching what I said up top, these are unprecedented times where essentially the plug has been pulled on many businesses' opportunity to earn, and that has had a massive impact. And I think one of the important things, I know Claire will touch on this in terms of the sort of PR and reputational side, is you have to be cautious about how you go about dealing with those parties. And I think you have to look longer in terms of how you deal with it, but at the same time maintain the robustness and forcefulness of how you message your demand, be it for money or performance, as the case may be. And just another point, really, I suppose, which has come up frequently in the analysis, and I know certainly huge swathes of articles were sort of commented on in the early part of this incident around force majeure, and you're seeing commentary about what does force majeure mean. It probably in many cases became a bit of a red herring. The reality is the force majeure clauses probably don't cover, in most cases, the situation we find ourselves in, and therefore it requires a bit more of a creative consideration of a contract. Certainly the reality is if you're acting for a party which is unable to perform its obligations, we will have advised and we continue to advise around exposure. So in the context of what would be the loss if they were not able to perform, and that means looking at limitations and exclusions of liability clauses as well to try and mitigate that position. And look at commercial resolution options, which aren't necessarily as narrow as what does that one particular contract provide, and perhaps what else commercially could be agreed between the parties. And having, like all of us, done so many mediations over time, those sort of creative solutions come very naturally to us.
Absolutely. It seems that never has there been more of a focus on balancing, you know, advising on the blacklist law, fine, but needing to know what the commercial outcome really is to be, and the challenge, commercial challenges that both parties are faced with. So absolutely agree. Before we move on to kind of the communication, reputation management side of the piece, you mentioned that you have a particular specialism in food and beverage, health and safety and labelling, that kind of thing. Just wondered if there is much activity or commentary out there in that sphere at the moment, and how that impact is being felt.
Yeah, it's an incredibly tough time for the food and beverage industry, and particularly the restaurant sector. They've been squeezed for several years now, and obviously a huge amount on business rates. The introduction of the new labelling requirements, which are coming into force next year, arising out of Natasha's Law, will have a huge impact on their overheads in terms of implementing those changes to label all pre-packed food with full ingredient information. And this is just another big hits upon them as an industry where effectively their doors are closed, and those that can't fulfill the orders by delivery are fully shut, and others are working at a far reduced sort of basis. I think there's obviously still a fair amount of implementation and guidance to come out of the allergen labelling changes. But that, like many things, has been effectively put on hold whilst everyone is really focused on COVID-19. I don't anticipate presently that there's going to be any deferment of those regulation changes which come into force next year. But the difficulty, of course, is that businesses are trying to be creative and move very much to a delivery model. And I think it's really key for them to reflect and consider that just because we are in these straitened times and difficult times, that the regulations and obligations they have with respect to food information remain, and the consequences of not getting that right or not performing will be the same. You might have an allowance in terms of sort of mitigation and a level of fines and prosecution penalties, but ultimately the offence would still be there if you don't comply with that. And I think it's really important that businesses continue to have that front and centre in their thoughts.
Yeah, fully understand. It's also, just thinking about that, it could be seen as almost an opportunity while there is a bit of sort of downtime in terms of normal business to take the opportunity to focus on those regulations and to prepare ahead of them coming into force. I think it's probably slim pickings at some comfort there, but it is an opportunity, I suppose, to get the house in order in advance of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've long thought that in the context of the COVID-19, there are similarities with the certainly the kitchen protocols and assurances you need to give to your customers around food preparation and food delivery. And obviously, there's a huge amount of non-contact deliveries going on at the moment. Lots of businesses doing that. Lots of businesses giving assurances as to the sort of cooking conditions and the extent to which people come into contact with the food. And there's a real synergy between that and what people will have in place or need to have in place around the allergen protocols, and therefore giving comfort to those who have allergies coming into restaurants or environments to be able to demonstrate to them these are the processes we have in place. So, yeah, as you say, Caroline, often there are silver linings, small silver linings perhaps, to take out of this, but there's certainly opportunities to implement practices which are going to be kind of the new norm going forward. So you have to react, embrace, and see the operational changes you can to survive in a future environment.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you, Jamie. That's really interesting and very practical and helpful. So moving on to the broader considerations of reputation management and how business should handle and present itself in the context of disputes. Claire, just turning to you, and thinking about the fact that businesses are having a bit of a difficulty in knowing what to put in writing about the pandemic and the situation that they're finding themselves in. What would be your advice on that from the perspective of both the party that they're doing business with and also in the face of the public?
Yeah, I think first of all, I would say to clients that have these concerns is that it's completely valid. As Jamie said earlier, this is uncharted territory that we're all in, and everyone is kind of navigating it at the moment. And one problem that I'm particularly seeing with clients is that because the situation with regard to government restrictions is changing constantly, they don't know what they can or should say about what their future position will be, whether that's with respect to bookings or supply or anything like that. So I think as a starting point, I'd say it's okay to be concerned, but there are some kind of helpful things you can do to help yourself and the business at this time. If we just focus on internal and communications with stakeholders and suppliers first, I think it's really important that businesses are having conversations with their staffs proactively about what they should be saying to suppliers, customers, and other stakeholders. And before that communication happens, you do need to check your contracts with the relevant parties so that you know your legal position as best you can. And you don't want, for example, something that I've seen is staff promising something in conversations that they either didn't have to or they shouldn't be doing. And it's best to, while it is a bit of a panic at the moment, to just take a few moments to make sure all your ducks are in a row so you know what position you're speaking from. And the other thing to be conscious of is that a lot of the people that are having these conversations might not necessarily be people that have had to have these legal type dispute resolution conversations before, and that's something to be really mindful of and really clear in your internal messaging about, so that your external messaging with your suppliers is really clear on that. Another tip I would give to businesses is that if it can be avoided, obviously the situation is ever changing, and as I mentioned, the government restrictions are constantly changing. So if you don't need to commit to a firm future position, I would be reluctant to do so. And you know, if you do have to kind of have those conversations with either customers or supplier, and I would try and give yourself some wriggle room in that conversation, just as I say, because the situation is changing constantly. So if we turn to now the wider communications that people that businesses are having, I think it's really important to remember my usual rule, which is less is more. I'm seeing a tendency for some clients to put out really long and involved statements about what's going on and what they're doing. While that can be helpful, particularly from a kind of customer comfort perspective, it can lead to a lot of difficulties. So what I'm tending to be advising is don't knee-jerk react into a statement, and as best you can, keep it factual and concise. I had an example recently where one business was wanting to put out a highly critical statement about another business and what they were doing and their conduct during this during the COVID-19 outbreak. Even just in a matter of days, it was clear that that statement would have aged terribly. And so I think businesses need to think clearly about what it is that they need to say before putting out any statements. And as Jamie touched on earlier, you know, we're seeing arguments around force majeure and frustration of contract and things being raised at the moment. And businesses need to be aware that any public statements, particularly that you make regarding your position, will factor into those if they unfortunately turn to it in disputes. And so you want to not shoot yourself in the foot by saying too much about the current position or what you're doing publicly.
Yeah, that's really sensible advice, Claire. I think it's clear that everything has quite a short shelf life at the moment, doesn't it? So something can come out of date so quickly, and worse than being out of date can then become quite damaging, which is obviously a situation we'd really like to avoid.
Yeah, and I think as Jamie kind of touched on earlier, it's really important that businesses are thinking long at the moment, and whether that be with regard to statements or finding a creative solution to a dispute, while the tendency can be to just deal with the present problem at hand, people do need to try and avoid doing something in the moment that perhaps, you know, when you look at it and whether it's an hour, the next day, the next week, the next month, just seems really rash.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, hopefully all of that advice will be followed and disputes ideally will be avoided. But should a business find itself in a dispute, can you give any guidance around the type and the tone of communications that they would be best advised to have with their counterparties in the context of any dispute that might arise?
One thing that I am advising to clients to think about, particularly when they're trying to propose creative solutions to problems, is considering whether it's worth opening a without prejudice dialogue, which can run along open correspondence that you're perhaps having with your counterparty. And the benefit of that is what it means is that it's correspondence that you're having with a view to try and settle the dispute, but it's protected from disclosure in, for example, court proceedings if you were unfortunately to get into that position. I think it's really important when businesses are proposing alternative solutions to think about whether or not it would be appropriate to quite clearly mark that correspondence as without prejudice, with a view to settling the dispute. One example that comes to mind is, you know, a business that we were dealing with that was entitled to an immediate refund of a deposit. But they had decided that actually the relationship was quite good with the supplier and that they wanted to be involved with them in the future. And so they were thinking about offering a payment plan to assist the business, the counterparty's obvious cash flow issues at this time. They sent a letter that protected their open position with regard to the refund of the deposit and then opened a WP dialogue about the payment plan to assist with cash flow issues. And that was a really, I think, helpful way to deal with the dispute because the party's legal position was protected, but they were also able to sensibly resolve and avoid quite a substantial dispute. And then my other tip, which I think has been touched on a couple of times, and Jamie might have a couple of things more to say about it, but that is just, it is so important not to get too bogged down in the current crisis and remember that we will be rebuilding soon. And the relationships are going to be really important to that rebuild. So I would just bear that front of mind in the context of any disputes and discussions with the other side.
Absolutely, Claire. I think it's absolutely vital that we aren't thinking short term at the moment, isn't it? I think that's absolutely a point that Jamie might be coming on to in our top tips. So I guess I'll hand back to Jamie. And yeah, if you guys can offer your kind of three pieces of advice to organisations in the sector to sort of best help them work through any issues they might be struggling with at the moment.
Yeah, I think that's a fascinating and interesting dynamic, and what we're saying about sort of short term versus long term. We're in a very short news cycle. I think that's the way of the world these days, but memories do become longer in terms of sort of bad behaviour and commercial opportunism in these times. And I think there's been certainly a number of businesses that have trying to sort of trade on through this, or taking a slightly different approach against the masses, and actually then sort of reverse that eventually. And it remains to be seen as to kind of reputationally what damage that does, damage to the reputation that does over a longer period, and once things go back to normal. So I think that is fascinating. In terms of my kind of thoughts really on top tips, I would say this, wouldn't I, as a lawyer, but I do strongly feel that getting advice early is really important. I think some clients underestimate the importance of the pre-action correspondence, the pre-action dialogue, because if you come to a lawyer when you've escalated things to the point of really leaving yourself no option but to issue proceedings, you've lost a lot of commercial wriggle room opportunities in that time. And the art often is to try and kind of press the right buttons in the lead up to that, to be able to sort of push for a commercial resolution, leveraging your best arguments commercially and legally. So working closely with your advisor from an early stage actually can be more cost effective than you would otherwise believe. So I think that's a really important point to remember. Point two, I think, really is something we've covered, is we do need to be thinking longer term in the context of this will be over at some point. Things will return to a normality. What that normality will be remains to be seen, but commercial relationships are not forged overnight, and therefore care and consideration needs to be given to risking throwing those away in the pursuit of a remedy in the short order at this point in time. So looking at means of commercial resolution and alternative ways of getting through this, in terms of whether that be a contractual arrangement at a better rate down the line, committed to at this point in time as an offset for a claim at this point. Things like that are really important to sort of give consideration to at this point. Yeah, and a sort of follow-on really of the one of the earlier points is, I think, managing those commercial relationships. I think what we've got to appreciate that in the ordinary course, litigation by whatever means, be that through court process or arbitration, expert determination, is not an instant fix solution. Invariably, in most of the cases we're talking about arising from COVID are generally money related claims, and so you're not really in the sort of territory of pursuing injunctive relief to sort of get a quick fix, or at least an interim quick fix. So you're having to wait for the process to come to fruition, and obviously in times like this the process is somewhat slower. We've seen and covered in one of the earlier podcasts that you've been involved in, Caroline, about winding up petitions being restricted somewhat over this period. So the legal pressure points aren't as strong as perhaps they would be, and equally when they are available they take longer to come to fruition. So being creative around that, applying the right level of pressure, utilising sort of well put together correspondence and dialogue, going to a point that Claire made earlier, on a without prejudice basis plus on an open basis, can be a good way of getting a strong result. And certainly over the last few weeks we've had several cases of that ilk where those results have yielded good successes.
Fantastic tips. Thank you.
I think my first tip would be what Jamie just touched on, which is regard to when having discussions about trying to resolve your disputes, turn your mind to whether or not it's appropriate to set up a without prejudice dialogue, particularly for the purpose of protecting communications as much as possible and avoiding potential embarrassment later down the line. I think this is really important and at the moment when we're seeing lots of creative solutions being proposed to problems. My second tip would be think really carefully before you put out statements. Not only is the situation ever changing, but if the issue does end up in court, your statements could be used as evidence about what you understood the current situation to be, which will be important for arguments around force majeure, frustration, and other things. I think my final tip would be something that we've hopefully drilled in during the course of this episode, which is when making decisions about disputes, try not to think about the decision just in the context of the current crisis. We will be rebuilding eventually, and destroying relationships or taking hard lines now might not necessarily be in the long-term interest of the company. I think we've seen some brands, particularly at the moment, that have pivoted really well in the current crisis and have used it as an opportunity to develop a lot of goodwill in the market, whether that's with suppliers, their employees or customers. And I think that will serve them really well in the recovery effort. And I think you want to be one of those businesses that came out of this as best you can with your reputation intact and stronger, rather than a business that's seen perhaps as opportunistic or short-sighted.
Amazing. Really, really helpful stuff there, guys. Thank you. So, yes, just to say thank you to you both on my behalf and the listeners for the insightful and really practical perspectives there. I really have no doubt that they'll be hugely relevant and helpful to everybody listening. So thank you. If there are follow-up queries, by all means, do get in touch with us. We have a generic email address, retailrecovery@crsblaw.com. And all of those that have been presenting on the podcast will be available to pick up any queries that come through to that. So thank you all so much and goodbye for now.